This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick.
I'm Madeline Brand. In a few minutes, federal investigators say they've broken up a crime ring that looted thousands of Native American artifacts from archaeological sites. But first,
the bomb in the backyard, the provocative cover story in the new issue of the magazine Foreign Policy. Terrorists don't need to smuggle a bomb into this country, it suggests. They might more easily build one here and set it off. Jeffrey Lewis is co-author. He's a scholar at Harvard and creator of the weapons control blog armscontrolwonk.com. Jeffrey Lewis, you and your colleague Peter Zimmerman give pretty detailed instructions on how someone might go about this. I'm pretty amazed to read how simple a task you seem to think this is.
I don't know that I would say that we think it's a simple task, but in answering the question of how hard is it, the answer we came to was it's not hard enough. And I would just say that we were very careful not to give anyone a cookbook.
But you break this down in a way that I can kind of get it. That is, you kind of budget the thing. You think you
Right.
need 19 people carrying out various tasks, and you're going to spend about $5.5 million. You're going to buy a ranch somewhere in the remote part of America. 150 acres would be enough, and there you would begin to assemble people and materials. Like what?
The principal activity was organized around a series of teams. We had a physics team, which would be responsible for designing the bomb, and we had several other teams, a team that operated a foundry that would cast the uranium metal. We had a team that would put together the gun mechanism. This was a very simple atomic device that just essentially slammed two lumps of uranium together.
The real thing you need, though, is enriched uranium to make a bomb, and that, you note, actually is available, too.
Right. Well, that's the hardest part, and that's the place where we think we should spend most of our efforts. But at the same time, there is at least one case where there was a theft of a substantial amount of highly enriched uranium. Fortunately, the fellows who stole it tried to sell it to some Czech police officers, and so that worked out all right. But we think this is hard, but it's not hard enough. There are still simple things that we could do that would make us safer.
As I was reading your description of how to go about doing this, I was thinking to myself, if it's this easy, how come North Korea didn't develop a bomb 10 years ago? Why can't the Iranians get one next week?
Well, in the case of Iran, the reason that Iran hasn't been able to build a bomb is that they don't have the fissile material. We posited a scenario where the terrorists stole or otherwise acquired through the black market the uranium for the bomb, the highly enriched uranium. In the case of Iran, they're trying to make it, and that's what most of the current crisis concerns, is Iran's efforts to install centrifuges that would allow it to make enriched uranium. In terms of North Korea, they have had a bomb probably for 10 years because they acquired plutonium, which they separated from the spent fuel of a nuclear reactor. The decision of the North Koreans to threaten to do that was what precipitated the crisis in the early 1990s that the Clinton administration intervened to stop.
I guess it's how to think like a terrorist, but still the calculations that I find you making here are disturbing in a weird kind of way. That is, you actually break it down and say a nuclear bomb would be, in fact, a very cost-effective way to kill a lot of people.
Well, they weren't fun calculations to do. What the genesis of the article really was this debate about whether or not terrorists were interested in killing lots of people. And there is this phrase that comes out of one of the terrorist trials that we thought was really important, where one of these fellows was asked why Al-Qaeda was interested in buying uranium. And he said, because you could kill more people.
Well, if you mean this at least in part to be some kind of a guide for how to stop this, what is it people could really do? What could governments do?
Our principal recommendation was securing stockpiles of fissile material, highly enriched uranium and plutonium. There are many efforts ongoing to do that. One can always do more. We were also taken at the importance of scientific and technical expertise. And so we think that it would be a good idea to expand the sort of programs that take people who have the skill sets that Al-Qaeda or another terrorist group might be interested in, and making sure that they're fully employed and not selling their talents on the black market.
Jeffrey Lewis is author, with Peter Zimmerman, of the cover article in the new issue of Foreign Policy magazine. It's called The Bomb in the Backyard. Jeffrey Lewis, thank you for speaking with us.
It was a real pleasure.
Thank you.